This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Would you give the Lord a shout of victory? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God, isn't he? Yeah, all the time. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 9. It's in the Old Testament. We're beginning a brand new series this weekend on more. Everyone say more. Say it again, more. We're going to talk about more this whole month. But I want to just give you the outline so you can be praying about it. Today, I want to talk to you about God more. God more. Next weekend, I want to talk to you about earn more. Earn more. I saw on the internet this week that they said 80% of people in the workplace are unhappy. 80% of people that have a job are unhappy with their job. That's not God's best. I want to help you out with that. So next weekend is earn more. The third weekend of this month is give more. Now make sure you're here or I'll know you were convicted and you stayed home. Amen. So this weekend is God more. Next weekend is earn more, followed by give more, followed by the last weekend of this month, save more. You know, I want you to have a savings account. I want you to have enough left over for you to have a storehouse God can bless. Peter Daniels, the billionaire from Australia, one time he told me, Dave, if you don't know how to save, you'll never be rich. You'll never be blessed. If you don't have a savings account, if you're not putting something back, then God won't honor what you already have. That was Peter Daniels, the billionaire from Australia. All of God's people need a storehouse. You know, we were talking out in the lobby between the services to some of our members, and this lady walked up to me and she said, you know, Pastor, she goes, I used to just live from week to week, week to week. And she said, I started coming here, and she said, I came from a certain denominational church, and I heard you start talking about tithing. She said, I'd never heard about tithing before. She said, I started tithing, and she said, Pastor, for all my life in the workplace, it was just enough to get by each week. She said, I want to tell you, Pastor, last year I went to Italy. She goes, I'm getting ready to go to Mexico, Acapulco. She goes, not only do I have more than enough each week to pay my bills and put a savings account, but now I've got money to take my family and go on trips. That's a good story at Church on the Rock, amen? She's a doer of the word. But this weekend, I want to talk to you about God more. Say that with me, God more. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, 2, and 3. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet, the weeping prophet. He wrote Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. And you're going to see in verse 1, 2, and 3 that he's weeping over God's people. He's crying over the church, if you would. He's crying over God's people. He's upset, he's depressed, he's despondent. And when he looks at the people of God who aren't acting like the people of God, he gets very distraught. And so let's pick it up in verse 1. He said, if only my head were a pool of water and my eyes were a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for God's people, my people, who have been slaughtered. Verse 2, oh, that I could go away and forget my people. He's talking about God's people. He said, oh, that I could go away and forget my people, and if I could live in a shack in the desert, live in a trader house down by the river. He said, if I could just live in a shack in the desert, for they, he's talking about God's people who aren't acting very godly. Now, verse 1, 2, and 3, it's very relevant to where you and I live today, and what's going on in our culture and what's going on in the church. So notice he says, I would like just to forget God's people. I'd like to escape. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of them. I'd like to live in a shack in the desert. For they are all adulterers. They are a pack of liars. God's people are acting very ungodly. Next verse, verse 3. My people, God's people, they're liars. They compromise. They say one thing and do another. They break their promises. They break their truths. They break their covenants. You can't trust them or count on them. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. So he says, my people bend their tongues like bow and they shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up in the culture. They refuse to be cross-culture. They refuse to go against the culture. They compromise, they bend, they bow. They can't handle people, pressure, or problems. They don't have the strength. They don't have the stability. And they go from, look, family, they go from bad to worse. That's God's people. It's not God's intention for you and me and the people of God to go from bad to worse. It's God's plan for us to go from bad to better. It's God's plan for us to go from good to great, from average to abundance. That's the will of our Heavenly Father. This isn't God's will. This isn't God's plan to barely get by, not have enough money for your children's education. You can't take a vacation. You can't give to projects in the church because you're heavily in debt to credit cards. That's not God's best. That's not God's will. Giving in to the pressure and the people and the problems and our culture, and we can't stand up and be a witness and be light in a dark world, that's not God's best. To go from bad to worse, that is not what God wants for you nor for me. He said they go from bad to worse. Why, God? I want to know, God, why aren't their prayers being answered? Aren't they getting ahead? They're being stolen from, robbed from. They're depressed, dejected. They're liars. They're truce breakers. They're adulterers. They have no standards. They have the wrong philosophy. They blend into the culture. God, why? Why are they so messed up? Why can't they get ahead? Why can't they live like a godly person in an ungodly world? Why can't they be up in a down world? God, why can't they soar and not sink, fly and not fall, climb and not crawl? God, what's the problem? And he goes on to answer it. He said, because they do not know me. That's the problem. Today I want to talk to you about God more. Getting to know God better. Getting to know God more. And the challenging question I have for all of us and those online is this. Do you know God more this Sunday than you did last Sunday? Do you know God more this Sunday than you did last Sunday? If not, our lives are only going to go from bad to worse. It may not show up in this season, but what we plant, we will reap. It'll show up in another season. You see, if I put anything before God, then it's not going to last. It's going to eventually fall. And God's people, God had a better plan, and God's plan is always better than my plan. How about for you? God's plan is always better, and God didn't want them to be slaughtered and ravaged and raped and destroyed and stolen from and belittled and have no voice and insignificant in that generation. And Jeremiah says, I just want to run away from them. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. I'm so depressed. I want to get a shack out in the desert. I want to get away from them because they forgot to know God. You know, we can get so busy, can't we, that we forget the main thing. So you can grow up in church and not know God. You can go to church. You can be an usher and not know God. You can be saved and not know God. You can sing in the choir. You can be a praise leader. In fact, a lot of worship leaders that I know, a lot of them don't even worship God in private. They get their energy from leading people in public before the Lord. What is their problem? Is God against them? No. Is God angry, upset, holding them back, restricting them, restraining them? No. God is for them. But they forgot the most important thing, to know God. You know, I grew up in the church, and I'm thankful for that. And my parents, they took me to church whether I wanted to go or not. And parents, you need to bring your kids to church. Don't send them. We're not a babysitting club for you. You need to bring them and be a leader. And church needs to become before soccer and basketball, gymnastics, and all the extracurriculars, because it's not going to help them when they get an adult out on their own to build their life on sports. Really. So I'm thankful, you know, I didn't want to go to church a lot of times, but my parents took me anyway. I'm so glad they did, because the word was poured in me, and the Bible says it will not return void. That somewhere, my parents knew, somewhere in my future, it would spring up a harvest, a crop in my life. And so, you know, growing up in church, I gave my heart to Christ when I was 11, and I went to Sunday school every Sunday morning. My parents took me, and you know, I had to go because my dad was a Sunday school superintendent. So we had to go, even if we didn't want to go. And I grew up in church, I grew up in Sunday school, and I didn't know God. I heard all the stories in the Bible, you know, the Sunday school stories, and in church, and I even got those stars they would give you for good attendance, and those ribbons. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And every Sunday, we were in Sunday school, and every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and a lot of times I didn't want to go, but my parents took me. I'm so glad they did. And they took me there, and they made me go to church, and even though that I grew up in church, and I was in Sunday school, and I had given my heart to God, I didn't really know God. I knew about God. You know, you can know about somebody and not really know them. Is that right? And you can grow up in the church. You can be an usher. You can be an elder. You can be a greeter. You can work in youth. You can work in children, and yet not know God. And their problem was that while all that was going on, he says, it's because they do not know me, says the Lord. So what's the answer today? Same chapter. Let's just jump to verse 23 and 24, Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. And like E.F. Hutton, if God's talking, I'm listening. How about you? This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom. That's academics. My number one goal in life, and we're for education at Church on the Rock, by the way. You know, we're getting ready in 2018 to launch an on-site campus of Southeastern University, where you can get all your credits, you can get your scholarships and your grants, and go to university right here in America. We are pro-education. But that should not be our number one goal in life. Is to get a degree. He said, don't let you boast in your wisdom or the powerful boast in their power. My number one goal in life should not be salary or status or sex, family. My number one goal in life should not be wisdom, power, or riches. That shouldn't be our number one goal. It goes on in the next verse, verse 24. But those who wish to boast and brag, this is what you should boast and brag on alone. 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 Everyone say, God, more. I didn't say s'mores. I said, God, more. What's the answer to our problems? You see, I found out that if somebody really knows God, you can tell it in how they respond to life. How they respond to pressure and people and problems. Because people who know God see life differently. People who know God respond to life differently. Remember the story in the Bible of the three Hebrew children, and they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Do you remember what they said to Nebuchadnezzar? You know, if you throw us in or you don't, we know our God is able to deliver us. You know, not just about God, but you know God by your response to people, pressure. Problems and pain. So he said, your number one goal should be this, and you should boast in this, that you truly know me. Truly know me. And that you understand that I am the Lord. So our number one goal in life is to know God more. My prayer for you today is that God will be more important in your life than your family, your finances, your future, your hobby, your career, your running, your golfing, your shooting, your hunting, your investments, that God will be more in your life. Because when God is more, it doesn't go from bad to worse. It goes from bad to better. Now, look what he says. Pastor, how are we going to know an invisible God? Because, you know, God's invisible. He doesn't have a body. He's a spirit, right? God is a spirit. And how do you get to know an invisible God? How do you get to know an invisible God? How can you do that, Pastor? Well, let me give you three ways, one of which is found right here, and that is look at his nature. You get to know God better when you know his names. You get to know God better when you know his names. God becomes more when you know he's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Not just about it, but you know him. You've tested and tasted and experienced that when it was tough, God came through for you. You know God more when you know his name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who brings you peace. Jehovah Tiskenu, the righteousness of God. It's not knowing about God, it's knowing God. God more. So how do I know God more? He goes on to tell them how. He says, understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love. What's he going to do? He says, I have unfailing love and I bring justice. God's a just God. You see, if you have been mistreated, lied about, persecuted, let God fight your battle. Yeah, God will, he'll take care of you. And when it's all said and done, you'll be on top. See, what is he doing? He's listing his characteristics. He's listing his characteristics, what he's like. He's listing his nature. So if you want to get to know an invisible God, you see, when you really know God, you have endurance. How do you know somebody who really knows God? Because you can go to church all your life and not know God. You can hoop and you can shout and you can chicken walk and you can roll in the aisles and foam in the mouth and speak in tongues and not really know God. How do you know if somebody really knows God? Well, the Bible says that Moses, seeing the invisible God, endured all that Egypt and Pharaoh had to do and give to him. So people who really know God, they have endurance. They don't trip up over things. They don't get sidetracked, distracted. They don't give up. Because they know in whom they believe and that he is able to deliver them. And that which has been committed to him, he will bring it to pass in their life. God more. How do I get to know God more? Number one, I begin to study his names, his names, his names, his nature, his character. Number two, I look at his words, his words. We'll continue this Wednesday night. I look, number three, at his works. So looking at his names and his nature and his characteristics and looking at his words, what he said in the word of God, and looking at his works through Christ, I begin to know an invisible God. You know, Jesus, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, right, church? Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't his only reason he came. That wasn't the only reason Jesus came. Now, we're going to look at this in depth Wednesday night, but that wasn't the only reason he came. Yes, he did come to seek and to save those which was lost. That's why he went to the cross. He died and buried and rose again, but there was something really vital that he also came to do, and that was this, to manifest the Father before the human race. Jesus came to reveal the Father to humanity. Peter, John 14, Last Supper, Philip. Philip comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, show us the Father. You're talking about the Father, God. We want to see him. Show us the Father. And Jesus said to Philip, wake up, dude. For 3.5 years, through my words, through my works, I've been revealing to you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, God wants to reveal himself to you in a real way. God wants us to know him, and God wants us to enjoy him. Now, I'm going to say the most important thing I've ever said in 33 years at this church. Are you ready? In 33 years, I would, you see, Pastor, you can only say one thing. This is what's going to be right here. So if you're a note taker, this is the thesis of this weekend, God more. Say it with me, please. God more. You see, before we earn more and give more and save more, it's God more. Because our number one goal is to know God. If I don't know God, it's going to go from bad to worse. If I know about God, it's still going to go from bad to worse. It's still going to go from bad to worse. You know, I found this out, that people really aren't hungry for God until they get an appetite for God. Got to have an appetite for God. I found out in my own life, in my own testimony, you've heard it, 1975, and you know, Kim and I had just gotten married, and beautiful wife, and brand new Corvette, and brand new motorcycle, going to build a brand new house out in the country in management, and you know what? I didn't like my life. We won't really know God until we realize I don't want to live without God. I got to the point in my life, I said, God, you know, I can't go on without you. People won't go to church. They won't open their Bible. They won't come to an altar. They won't surrender their life until they have an appetite for God. Until they realize that, hey, I don't want to live life without God. That's the starting point, isn't it? So this is what I want to tell you. Everything that God has, and everything that God can do. And how many of you know that I love you and I want you to know God more, right? So here's my statement. Everything that God is, everything, number two, that God has. Number three, everything that God can do in our life comes through you knowing God. Everything God is, everything God has, everything God can do comes to you through knowing God. So the answer for healing and forgiveness and reconciliation and favor and promotion and my kids serving God and marrying the right person, the answer for all of my questions, the answer to the solution to all my problems then is to God more. If everything God is and everything God has and everything God can do comes to me through knowing God, then the key is not to chase rabbits all over here in rabbit's trails, but keep the main thing, and my number one goal in life then should be to know God. Because when God's more of God in my life, then that allows God to be who he is. For me to partake of what he has, and for God to do what he's able to do in my life. Let me show you from Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. Would you look there with me in 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2. Grace and peace. Now, do you remember the series I did on grace? And we define grace as everything God is. It's more than favor. It's more than power. Grace of God is everything God is, everything God has, and everything God can do. Look how grace and peace are multiplied into your life through what? God more. A greater knowledge of God. Not about God, but of God. So notice that everything that God is, everything God has, everything that God can do is going to come into our life out of knowing him. Because it says that grace and peace, it's multiplied. It comes into your life through a knowledge of God. Next verse, verse 3. According as his divine power, he has given to us some things. All things. And all means all, doesn't it, family? God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Say life. Say godliness. See, life is your natural life, and godliness is your spiritual life. God has provided for you everything you need to be steady, strong, and successful. Everything you need to keep from bending and bowing and burning. God has provided for you everything you need to stop the bad going to the worse and take the bad and turn it into better. Everything you need in the natural, everything you need in the spiritual, he's provided to you that pertain unto life and godliness. And how do you get it? Through the knowledge of God. So notice that God more, so if you want God to do more in your life, you've got to get to know him more. If you want God, all that he has and all that he is and all that he can do comes to you through you knowing him, through a knowledge of God. So then you and I need God more. We need to know God more in our life. Are you with me, family? Yeah, that means that God's got to be more important than my schedule. God's got to be more important than my kids, my family, my mate, my career, my hobbies. God's got to be more important than my friends. God more. I just wish God would do more in my life, Pastor, than you need God more. You need to know God more. And how do you know God? By looking at his names, his nature, his words, and his works. It's a process, isn't it? God more? It's a process. You know, Kim and I, on our first date, it was a blind date. Does anybody know what a blind date? It was a blind date. And what the deal was a friend of mine wanted to take this girl out, but the girl didn't want to go without somebody else going with them. So they had this friend, it was Kim, and they connected Kim and I, so we double dated and we went out on a date. And it was great. Now what's the analogy now about how you have a God more, how you get to know God? And so we went out on that date and it was good and it was great. And so, you know, after the date, I asked Kim, I said, hey, you want to go out on another date, just the two of us? See where I'm going with this? Less noise, less people, more privacy. That's what you're going to have for God more. See, this natural analogy is going to give you the steps in the process, and it is a process for God more. Because everything God is, everything he has, everything he can do is based on you knowing him. And people who know him respond differently to pressure, problems, and people. So she said, yeah. So I said, okay, let's go on this date. Just you and me, Kim. Yeah, where are we going? To a car show. I'm a car guy. Well, what's happening? She's beginning to see my nature, my likes. We went to a car show. It was great. You know, it was awesome. We had fun. She had fun. She likes cars. And we got done with that date. And I said, I took her home that night. I said, how about another date? And she goes, sure. Yeah, okay. So next weekend, we went on another date. This time, we went to a horse show. Horse show. Kim's in the horses, okay? What am I finding out? She's getting to know it's a process. You don't go to church one day and know God. Okay. So you know, that was cool. You know, I enjoyed the car show more than the horse show, but I enjoyed her presence. Okay. So, you know, we got done with that, and I said, well, can I call you? And she goes, sure. So, you know, I'd call her up in the evening and talk to her 5-10 minutes. And then before you know it, it got to be 15 minutes. And then, has anybody heard of a landline? You know, my parents had a green wall phone in the kitchen. You know, that green of the, it's vintage now, you know, Urban Outfitters, you got to pay a lot of money for a phone like this, you know. So, and do you remember when you were high on the hog when you got that long extension cord? Anybody remember that? Oh, man, that was awesome. Because now when I called Kim up, that was in the kitchen. My mom could be fixing supper. I could slip away into another room. I could get away into another room. And we had privacy, and I shut the door. Well, I had an appetite to be with her. And now it's just me and her. And I'd hear my mom, she said, Dave, get off that phone. You've been on there for 45 minutes. You got homework. God more. It's a process. Wow. And then what happened? You know, one thing led to another, and went on another date, and the dates got later in the evening, and cards started coming, started sending her cards, and flowers started coming. I started sending her flowers. What is this? Kim Moore. And then, you know, we went from McDonald's hamburgers to steakhouses, and Kim Moore. And it ended up, what, with a ring and you know, asking her to marry me. And now, 44 years later, it's a process, isn't it? It's a process, isn't it? As the team comes out. You know, we're talking today about God more. That's the answer to the dilemma, the heartache, the depression, the hurt, the worry. That's the answer for everything going on in your life today is, I can't get along with my husband or my wife, or these kids are driving me crazy, or my job, the conflict. The answer is God more. Our number one goal in life is not sex, salary, or status. It's to know Him. To know Him. I just wish God, I need a miracle, Pastor. I've said that. Maybe you've never said it, but in my life, God, I just wish, I need a miracle today. And you know, I think of that scripture, oh, that I might know Him and the power. What comes before the power? That was kind of weak now. What comes before the miracles? Knowing Him. Oh, that I might know Him, and the power follows. Everything God is, everything God has, everything that God can do comes out of you and me knowing Him. The challenge is, do you know God more this Sunday than you did last Sunday? If not, your life is going to go from bad to worse. There's no static, a status quo in the kingdom of God. You know that, right? Some people think, oh, I can be away from church for a month, it won't bother me. Oh, yes, it will. I can stop serving, I can stop reading my Bible, it won't bother me. Just like in the natural, you stop working out, things start rearranging and moving on your body. It happens spiritual. Here's what I know. I've walked with God for a half of a century. You never stay the same. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. God is a God of motion. Okay? He's not stagnant. So the answer today for everything that you need God to be, do, and have is to know God